Get informed, get inspired, and get connected. CannabisRadio.com presents NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice. The National Cannabis Industry Association is the only national trade organization representing the businesses of the legal cannabis industry. NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice covers a range of topics, including the rapidly evolving political and policy changes that affect our industry, news and events of importance to cannabis professionals, and features on companies, individuals, and campaigns at the cutting edge of the cannabis industry. NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice begins now.
Hello, thanks for tuning in to another episode of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice on Cannabis Radio. I'm your host, Bethany Moore. I'm the Deputy Director of Communications with the National Cannabis Industry Association. Today, I have a couple of guests, Merrill Gilbert and Rhiannon Wu, both from Trace Trust. Merrill Gilbert is the co-founder and CEO of Trace Trust, which is a nationwide cannabis and hemp manufacturing compliance company advocating for safe consumer experiences through HACCP training and good manufacturing process certifications. Merrill has 25 years of experience working in the food and beverage industry and has been working in cannabis for over 6 years. She's the past chair of the NCIA Education Committee and a current member of our Risk Management and Insurance Committee. Rhiannon is the co-founder and chief science officer of Trace Trust. She's a sought-out leader in food safety development and protocol and is an expert in good agricultural practices, good harvesting practices, and good manufacturing practices, plus HACCP and the Food Safety Modernization Act. She is the secretary of NCIA's Hemp Committee, very involved in NCIA, which I so appreciate the both of you for. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Bethany.
Excellent. So let's dive right in here and get to know you both a little bit better in addition to what we shared here at the beginning. Rhiannon, let's start with you. Tell us more about your background and different experiences you maybe had before getting involved in this whole world of cannabis.
Sure. So I have a traditional agricultural background. I went to school to grow and manage crop production. I specialized in fruit production. I have been working in the ag industry, you know, for a long time. And one of the things about being in the California ag industry is that we always knew it was a when and not if that California was going to embrace cannabis as an agricultural product and really showcase what we already knew was one of the big crops here in California and really just bring it to the mainstream. So in some ways, I've kind of always worked in the industry because I've kind of kept my finger on the pulse of what's happening in cannabis and cannabis legalization. But until around maybe 6 or 7 years ago, I was really focused on just general agriculture and then started working my way into indoor growing through general agriculture. And that was kind of my first entry point into cannabis was through indoor growing. And, you know, once you're growing crops indoors, it makes total sense to start growing cannabis indoors. And that was really how I joined the industry, but brought with it, you know, all that experience in general ag and food manufacturing and food production and kind of brought all of that experience together into when I started my cannabis journey.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. There's so much crossover and you're absolutely right about it being a when, not if for California, for sure. How about you, Merrill? What's a bit more about your background, you know, before getting involved in cannabis?
Thanks for asking. So, you know, my journey is a little different and it comes from much more on the operations and business side. So, you know, I have started my career early on in the hospitality and restaurant side and opened up well-known and highly recognized restaurants across the country for a number of years. And then really in the late 90s, early 2000s, really started moving my inspiration and desire to be where the future of food is and food systems. This is the beginnings of sustainable agriculture, the real rise in organics and, you know, the future of non-GMOs, but much more about where food is coming from, how it's going to get there. So, you know, if you were going to want to create a product that was either going to go on a plate or in a box somewhere along that point of check, I would be involved in. And looking forward and seeing where things were going, I knew that cannabis was the next frontier. It was also, you know, something that I wanted to be, you know, seen more for its ability to be a plant and an ingredient in medicine, and how do all those things intersect? And then how do you really bring this future in with so many different stakeholders? And as I was having that thought process and looking at what I wanted to do in it, a mutual friend introduced me to Rhiannon, and she was, you know, doing the same thinking around it, but we weren't really sure what that was going to look like. And we, you know, had a conversation that went on for our first one was definitely over an hour. And then it just really morphed into what we thought was going to be originally a manufacturing company. And we were going to make these beautiful plant-based edibles and really try to target the new and returning consumer into the market, you know, moms and older adults and people looking, you know, for a much more casual and maybe less alcohol involved experience, but also wanting something that was going to be somewhat predictable and not overly medicated. And, you know, what we found very quickly was the fast forward, if you think 6 years ago, this was when the first oil extracts that were coming available that didn't have any odor to them so that they could be used. We were just seeing the beginnings of nanotechnology and water solubles, and we saw a huge amount of unpredictability. And it kind of just immediately made us stop and say, wait a second, we come from a world of food safety. We come from a world of manufacturing and good manufacturing practices. And we knew that right away, the consumer was going to need, and not just the consumer, but the distributor and the retailer all along the supply chain, we're going to need the same practices that we have in every other industry. And so we really set out very quickly to establish what that looks like. And what I'm talking about is when you say something is certified organic, or you say it's certified non-GMO, or you're a B Corp, there's a set of criteria that you need to go through and validate. And there's also some link back to your certificates of analysis and your lab testing. And so we created a True Dose first, which is for cannabis. And then we added HGMP in 2019. And these standards are before ASTM right now being peer reviewed, but it's also really that culture of safety that we have been advocates for. So the biggest part of our relationship and our company is really about uniting all of us together to make sure that the products that come into the marketplace are safe and reliable. And especially now, since we don't have federal legalization ahead of FDA, so that we are driving these guidelines and standards.
Absolutely. Yeah. So my next question was going to be how you two found each other. So when you found out that you both have these skill sets that crossed over, I mean, as you just mentioned, cannabis is still federally illegal. Did either of you have any, you know, nervousness or worries about the stigma of being involved in this, you know, federally illegal as of right now industry?
Well, I can hop in first. I have a very conservative family, and that was, you know, talking to them about, hey, this is what I'm doing now, and are you going to be okay with that? It was actually my parents were like, oh, of course, this is California. Of course, you're going to work in this industry. You work in agriculture. This makes sense. My in-laws, I was a little bit worried. They're very, very conservative, but it was very similar. They said, oh, by the time I was, you know, kind of coming forward that this is the industry that I was going to work in, you know, the legalization effort had already been so well publicized, and like the efforts from NCIA and other organizations had really started that that process of normalizing that even my very conservative in-laws were, you know, they're like, okay, well, this makes sense. I've heard there's a lot of money that you can make in this. And it makes sense that they need rules. And yes, you should go and do that. So, you know, I was nervous at first just to, you know, have to deal with family drama, but I was very pleasantly surprised.
Phew, what a relief. Oh, and that's good. That's good to hear.
Mine was not as bad because my family, you know, really has always been forward thinking. And again, you know, just the nature of the work that I had always been putting forward, you know, I was way ahead of the curve in having an online meal service. And I was way ahead of the curve in working with companies that were, you know, moving into plant-based foods, you know, some of the early adapters in the almond milks and almond milk cheeses, and then in cultured meats. And so it wasn't that far out to go this direction. I think the hardest part that we really struggled with, especially once we created our company, was really uniting the food and beverage world with the cannabis world. You know, initially people were just, no, Meryl, we're not going to talk about it. And then all of a sudden in 2018 and 2019, you saw this huge push of CBD everywhere, and it overcame the natural products world. And then all of a sudden you had the vaping crisis, and we were front and center, you know, uniting those two conversations because everybody knew that we were working in it, and they knew we had a voice, and we were already established in our careers to be able to be looked at right away for leadership.
Awesome. Excellent. All right, let's hop into our first commercial break here, and then we'll come back and take a deeper dive into all this. So stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back.
NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice will return once we give a voice to our sponsors.
It's time to Hemp Presents.
I am going to titillate your audio orifices with weekly radio rendezvous with some of the premier movers, shakers, and history makers of the cannabis community.
Radio resident hemposapien Vivian McPeak.
I will be putting out a call to action on issues of the day and putting your interests under the big lights as I provide cannabis commentary and weekly interviews that go straight for the nugular.
Marijuana! Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio.
Get informed, get inspired, and get connected with more of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, we're back on NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice on Cannabis Radio. I'm your host, Bethany Moore, with NCIA, talking with a couple of our members from Trace Trust. So let's begin by talking about some of the unfortunate failures that cannabis manufacturers can experience just by not having a deep enough understanding of standards. And you both mentioned these are standards that are applied to other industries. It's standard. Standards are standard. So let's talk about some of the failures that are common that can be experienced by cannabis manufacturers specifically. Meryl?
Yeah, I'm going to point to, because one of the things that we get on a weekly basis is the compliance reports from the state of California. And, you know, there's multiple thousands of products that are tested every week, and there's multiple licenses being issued, and a lot of them are getting also tagged for various situations. But the most common things that we see is obviously in potency, because again, all that's being really focused on today is concentrations of THC and CBD. We see a lot of failure in labels. So again, and that can be anything from the weight. So the weights and means, people care very deeply if it says 4 ounces and it is 3.9 ounces, you're in trouble. If it's 4.1 ounces, you're fine. So, you know, there's a lot of things around that. I also want to have Rhiannon chime in on this, because it goes a little deeper than just why it fails. It's the whole process behind it.
Rhiannon, it sounds like Meryl wanted you to expand on that a little bit.
Yeah. So let me just give an example. Say somebody makes a product and it, you know, it has blueberries in it. All right. Blueberries are great and they're a little superfood. They are delicious. Who doesn't want a blueberry, you know, muffin? But blueberries might also be associated with really high pesticide loads that can cause your product to be non-compliant. And so when you know that one of your non-cannabis ingredients is risky, you need to, you know, really moderate how you use that and what percentages and what's your safety measures against having those non-cannabis ingredients be the ones that are causing you problems. So everybody was, you know, really honed in, especially at the beginning of in California and in, you know, Colorado, all these states was very honed in their cannabis ingredients. You know, so much testing went into those ingredients, but not necessarily the same supply chain scrutiny for the other ingredients. And, you know, one of the other things that we see is when you're a cannabis manufacturer, a lot of times you're still kind of in like smaller production, right? You're not necessarily like at a full factory level. And so your ingredients that you're purchasing week by week are going to be very different. And so standardizing the ingredients that you get week by week is a really big deal into standardizing your product that you make week to week. And that's where we really saw people struggling is not, you know, they say, well, we're following our recipe exactly. Why is it not turning out? Why is it so variable? Why is it not turning out the same way based on what we're putting in? We have to really dig down to a deeper level and say, okay, you're following your recipe, but are your ingredients actually the same week by week? And that's where we really been able to shed some light on what's going on and help people really tap into, you know, different suppliers and wholesalers to get a little bit more stable base for their product. And that makes a big difference for them.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense for sure. And the cannabis industry, I think, considers itself a bit of a wellness industry, right? So when we're consuming cannabis in any form, we always want it to do good for our customers and not cause harm, of course. So staying compliant and having a good understanding of these standards of food safety and, gosh, GMPs, good manufacturing processes, is something all of our committees have been really focused on the last year and a half, I want to say, if not longer. That's part of the solution here, correct?
Right. Yeah. No, one of the biggest parts of the solution is really just understanding how your process works in your own manufacturing process, and then really everything's about standardization. Standardize that and do it the same over and over again. Mm-hmm. Take out that variability. And what a third-party audit does for you is it gives you like a report card, how standardized is your process. And, you know, the higher your grade on that test, the more standardized your process is, the more reliable your product is. So that's where really understanding that it's not enough to do it perfectly one time. You have to do it perfectly every time and understand where can you afford a little variability and where can you absolutely not afford variability, and really just understanding your own process end to end. And then, you know, it's, oh, we really believe in having an organization come and double check to make sure your process is as stable as you think it is, because that's how you get that independent assessment of really how well you're doing.
Yeah, that makes sense. If the recipe says 8 blueberries goes into that muffin, put 8 blueberries in there, right?
Exactly.
So yeah, speaking of organizations, the FDA does not have any oversight yet over the cannabis industry. But as an industry, from the inside out, we're looking to the future and we are getting our ducks in a row now to prepare for that. So let's get a little more into the benefits that a cannabis manufacturer would experience, for example, by going ahead and embracing food safety standards, GMPs and making their operations more sophisticated in this respect, even though it's not federally required yet by the FDA, just getting ahead of that.
Right, right. So I would say that we should all think about federal regulation as like the minimum standard. And we want our products to be better than minimum standard. So if you're trying to line up a contract, say you process cannabis as an ingredient, you're an extractor and you process it as an ingredient. Hey, wouldn't you want your ingredient to be approved for, you know, a major food manufacturer? Well, you're going to have to do GMPs. You're going to have those GMPs certified because, you know, those major food manufacturers, they don't trust their supply chain to just any old Joe off the street. They want to have validated suppliers. And as you go into where there might be a situation where the FDA is coming to check out how you're doing, you want to have that confidence that you've already way surpassed their expectations because you've already met the expectations of these other more strict and more scrutinous organizations.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Just preparing for the maximum. I like how you said that. The federal is the minimum and we should think of it that way, not the be all end all. So when the feds do get involved in cannabis, when we legalize federally, I'd love them to open the door and say, wow, you all are doing above and beyond what's necessary. Great job. And this allows for supplier confidence. This allows for consumer confidence. All these things are so important, of course. We're about to take our next commercial break, but when we come back, I just really want to underscore the importance of this collaboration and the education and taking the wisdom from these other industries, as you've mentioned, and cannabis with the manufacturing. There is a lot of food safety crossover, absolutely, for sure. Okay, let's take that second commercial break, and then we'll come right back to wrap up our episode. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice will return once we give a voice to our sponsors.
Elevate your everyday with that Shuggies feeling, with the sweet taste of Shuggies. Add a cup of Shuggies to your morning coffee. Ah, how sweet it is. Shuggies infuses cannabis and cane sugar to make it the perfect sweetener with benefits. Make your happy hour happier with a dunk of Shuggies in your drink. Order your Shuggies now at shoogies.com or find it in dispensaries throughout California. Whenever you crave a little sweet, pick up Shuggies, the sweet, sweet take anywhere treat.
Get informed, get inspired, and get connected with more of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, we're back on NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice on Cannabis Radio. If you're just joining us, I'm your host, Bethany, and I'm chatting with a couple members from NCIA who are very involved in our committees, the Risk Management and Insurance Committee and the Hemp Committee. And as I was alluding to earlier in the episode, all of these NCIA committees built of our members are really setting the stage for more sophistication, more education on these issues like good manufacturing processes and food safety through the blogs and through podcast interviews like this as well. And both of you are on these various committees. So I wonder if you could take a second to just talk a little bit about what it's like collaborating with other industry professionals with the goal of raising the industry in order to benefit everyone from the operators to the consumers. Meryl, can you speak on that?
Yeah, such a great question. It's been such a wonderful opportunity because it is a national organization, and we're really coming together to do good. And with that, you know, I've had the privilege over these last few years to really interact with a variety of different committees for different reasons. So when I was the chair of the education committee the first year that it was added, and we worked really hard on collaborating on curriculums for community colleges. And it's so great to see that that has finally come to fruition. So it's really about, as more people are looking at cannabis for a career or for transitioning from a more traditional industry into it, this has been a great, opportunity for that to happen. And, you know, secondly, behind that part on just the education, where one of the other things that each committee is working on, and now we even have a multi-group working group happening, is around nomenclature. Because we not only all talk about things differently, but if we as this national organization can't define all of the same words in the same way, then how do we expect the consumer to do that? So this overarching about how we communicate and how we bring this out to the public has been phenomenal. And then joining the risk committee is even more interesting, because I'm probably the only member that's not a lawyer, an insurance agent, or an accountant. And we also have a software person, so there's the tech person on there. But it's been fantastic in our ability to really dig into what is the future around risk, how do you define risk management, and how do you, you know, plan for the future of product liability, officers and directors, workman's comp. You know, all of these things are so interrelated. And then the overall part of policy, you know, how do we really affect policymaking first on a state level, but then on a national level, which is coming very quickly. And it's got to be just beyond banking, because we have so many, again, we have to think about how we're going to not only be with FDA, but USDA, you know, we're, you know, and this differentiation between hemp and cannabis, and just, you know, there's so much knowledge, because for such a long time, the stigma around this being a drug and a gateway, and, you know, these old stoner cultures, they're quickly moving away, but we still have such a long way of really, you know, bringing this plant's capabilities forward.
Right, right. We are moving away from reefer madness and into more sophisticated information and topics about this. And speaking of education, by the time this episode goes to air, I will be preparing to get on a plane to head to Detroit for NCIA's Midwest Cannabis Business Conference, which, Meryl, you'll be there too, I believe. I think you're involved in our education panels. I believe you're speaking on Thursday, September 23rd. In the afternoon. So tickets are still available. Of course, head to MidwestCannabisBusinessConference.com. We have some great keynote speakers there. We've got Megatron and Rob Sims from the NFL, who will be keynoting at the event as well. So join us at the Midwest Cannabis Business Conference. And of course, just around the corner in December, we'll be in San Francisco at the Cannabis Business Summit, our seventh annual Cannabis Business Summit and Expo. Of course, we weren't able to hold this event in the year 2020, or any events really. We are really looking forward to slowly and safely and carefully getting back to the business of trade shows and conferences and education in person. So everyone stay safe, and let's slowly but surely head back into whatever the post-COVID world is going to look like. So I look forward to seeing you there at the Midwest Cannabis Business Conference, Meryl. And as we're just out of time here, where can our audience learn more about the work Trace Trust is up to?
You can go to our website, tracetrust.com, and that's TRACETRUST.com. You can also reach us at info@tracetrust.com, and we are always available to answer questions.
Perfect. Well, thank you both. Thank you, Rhiannon, for being on the show today. And thanks to our audience for tuning in to another episode of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice. Until next time.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.